My name is Sandy Vineyard. I am 53. I own a pet sitting company called Handy Sandy Pet Services. Been in business for 14 years. When I first got sober, I was, I'd always believed in God. I grew up Baptist and I always knew that there was a God. But I had felt that I'd just done so many bad things in my career of 25 years of bartending and drinking and drugging and everything else that comes along with it, that I really didn't know if I was redeemable, even though I knew that God still loved me. I just didn't know if I was worthy. I just kind of thought I was one of those people that I was just bad and I knew that I had to do something different, but I was afraid to do something different because the perfectionism came in and I wanted to be a good person, but I wasn't really sure how to do it. So I just really, at the beginning, what I did was I did what other people told me to do. I believed what other people believed and I started just really trusting other people with the higher power thing. And I learned how to pray basically from the prayers that were in the book and the Serenity Prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And I just kind of, it took a long time for me. I knew that I wanted to be close to God again. I just didn't know how to get there. And it takes a long time on the spiritual journey. It's not easy. And you doubt yourself and then you start playing the deal with God like, my first year of sobriety, I lost everything. I was one of those people that I stopped drinking and then things got worse. I left my boyfriend. I lost my job. I lost my apartment. I went bankrupt. And I was like, if God's so great and I'm trying to do good now, why are all these things happening? And I can see, I guess, now that God needed to kind of break me all the way down to nothing so that he could build me back up in the person that he wanted me to be rather than the kind of messed up person that I was. So, and it's still a work in progress, but it took me years to actually realize that I wasn't ever really gonna, I guess, find God. But what I was going to do was I was going to learn how to trust him a little bit more with just doing the next right thing, doing what the suggestions that people told me to do, trying to be a better person. I remember a sponsor once told me, how do you build self-esteem? You do self-esteem building things. And that was very helpful for me. I started praying a lot more. I did try to go back to the Baptist church and I just felt very uncomfortable there. And I did all sorts of things. I had a lady who was into more of the crystal bowls and crystals and magic type stuff. And I did my first year of sobriety, I went to a 45-minute long crystal bowl meditation, and that was really hard because I had a lot of energy and trying to meditate and stay still while listening to them play these beautiful crystal bowls was tough, but I did it. I was open-minded enough to do it, and I tried a lot of other things, and then I didn't do anything for a long time. I just made AA. I don't want to say I made AA my higher power, but I concentrated on getting sober and then concentrated on helping others for quite some time. So that's kind of how it was at the beginning. How did I meet Jesus? I met Jesus when I was very young. My mother, when I was about 12 years old, went to a Pentecostal church. And I'll never forget this. It was one of those small little white churches and they talked in tongues and it scared me to death. You know, my mom was searching at that time. I see that now. I didn't understand it back then, but she was searching for something. And my mom was baptized in a lake with a whole bunch of people, you know, fully submerged, like, you know, like they talk about doing it in the Bible. And I remember thinking to myself, man, as soon as I don't have to go to this church anymore, I am out of here. And that was when I was about 3 years before my first drink, needless to say. But I had been saved. I knew that Jesus, what he did for me, I knew that he died on the cross for my sins. I always knew that. But I had gotten so sick in my alcoholism and in my addiction that I couldn't be close to him because I knew what I was doing was so far away from what I knew I should be doing. And it was really, really difficult for me to realize that God meets you right where you are. You don't have to be perfect. I thought that I had to be perfect and live by the Bible, and I knew that I was never going to be able to do that. So, you know, having had my first drink and drug, actually marijuana was the first thing that I ever had, and then I was like, where has this been? And then alcohol came into play, and those two were pretty much my favorites. But so for about 25 years, I was a bartender, and I kind of just put Jesus on the back shelf. Now, I had my moments when I was really depressed and really sad and drinking alone, and I would say, you know, why am I such a terrible person, and why won't you come in and help me, God? But I wasn't really willing to do anything to move closer to him. I knew that I wanted to be close to God, and I wanted to get back in good graces with Jesus, even though now when I say that it seems kind of silly, because you're always in good graces with God and with Jesus. But I read the Bible, and I did a lot of reading, and I saw God working in people that I was sponsoring, and I knew that I wasn't staying sober on my own, because I had tried and tried and tried, and until I got to AA and realized that I had to have a power greater than myself was the only way I ever got sober. I tried 1,000 times. Just knowing that even through the tough times, that Jesus has got my back, and God is always with me, and really believing it now, because for so long, at the beginning of your sobriety, you just kind of do whatever you're told to do, you know, and then you kind of formulate a few things that work for you, and then when you go further and further down the journey and you continue to stay sober, your relationship with God becomes so much more concrete and so much more comforting. You know, even like during the really, really tough times, you know that you're truly not alone. Where before, when people say, oh, you're not alone, God's always with you, you're like, mm-hmm. And then as you develop your relationship with him, you start to realize that he is really with me, even in the tough times. 2 years ago on Memorial Day, we were at home, we were having a nice night. We lived in Martin's Landing, we had a nice house. We had worked really hard to get it set up just like we wanted it. And it was about 10 o'clock at night. We started hearing some sort of funny noise. Our neighbors had been out partying, and Steve went outside to see what it was. And the next door neighbor's son had put some fireworks in the trash can, and he burned both of our houses down. And it was a total loss. And luckily, we got out of the house. We got our dog out of the house, our cat out of the house, the motorcycle, the Harley out of the house, and both of our cars, but everything else was a total loss. And we pretty much sat across the street and watched our house burn. Thank God, you know, that I had the spiritual foundation that I had. And I had just finished Stephen Ministry class, and I had a lot more new spiritual tools to use. And so we got through that, and a month later, my mom was diagnosed with lung cancer. She immediately went into treatment, and she fought the cancer for about 10 months. And April 1st of last year, my mom passed away, and I was there the last 2 weeks of her life. I was there with her when she took her last breath in this world. And that's a gift that I would have missed had I not been sober, and had I not taken that time to rebuild that relationship with my mother and be there with her when she needed me. And that was just the hardest thing I ever did, but it was also the biggest gift that I was ever given. I never really understood when people said, it's hard to be there, but you want to be there when someone passes, and then you have it happen and you understand it. And I was able to walk through that. And I can tell you that at my mom's house, there was pretty much everything that you could possibly want, because when someone is suffering from cancer, they have anti-anxiety medication, they have morphine, they have methadone. And I was one of the two people that were comfortable enough to give it to her. And, you know, without having that foundation of sobriety and that foundation of that's not my business, and having the foundation of knowing that I was there to do God's work and help my mother, there was never a temptation to take any of those medications. There was never a temptation to drink, as painful as it was. And I got through that. I was right on the edge, not of drinking, not of using, but right on the edge of being just so emotionally broke. But I always say that God may take you right to the edge, but He'll be right there holding your hand and He won't let you fall off. So that's kind of been my experience with the tough times, but the good times are so far more frequent and better than the bad times now that it's all worth it. So I think that's it. Thank you.